Hey everyone, I hope you're doing great today. I hope you enjoy these Halloween stories as much as I did, and if you want to support my channel or early access to my videos, make sure you check out my Patreon, and I also have my podcast where you can hear all my stories in the description too. Let me know what's the scariest thing that happened to you on Halloween in the description below. And remember, if you're struggling with your mental health, it might be a good idea to try some exercise. It might not make the biggest difference straight away, but I think overall it can make a big difference to how you feel and your thoughts. It makes a big difference for me, so hopefully it can help some other people. So I hope you'll enjoy and I'll speak to you all soon. When I was 11 or 12, I was getting candy with friends on Halloween. It started getting pretty late, so we all decided to split up and go home. I was going down this one street that was really dark, and this dude come out of his house as I was passing by and said, "Hey, I think I really could use your help." I'm usually always willing to help, and I didn't stop to think that maybe it isn't such a good idea to stop and help out a complete random stranger well into the darkness. So I stopped and waited for him to approach me, and he came pretty close to me and said, "Can you please get in my car and start it for me while I look at the engine?" He had a really weird look on his face, and I started getting really weird vibes. I said, "Actually, I gotta go home." I could barely finish my sentence before he said, "Oh, it's okay, you don't have to go home. I'm just a nice guy and need some help. Please get in my car and help me now. I'll give you plenty of candy." I started backing away, and every time I stepped back, he steps closer. My heart was racing. He didn't necessarily do anything bad at all, but it was just the way he was talking to me and approaching me, standing way too close for comfort. I ended up saying, "I really have to go home, I'm sorry," and started walking really quick, and when I turned onto the block, I ran. I'm still thinking about it all the time because I'm not really sure what his intentions were. Maybe he did actually need help, but it doesn't seem so likely. Now I'm somebody who lives on an old tiny 3-bedroom house in an indigenous community / reservation. After my parents gave me this old house, I asked my fiancé and his stepbrother to move in to help with costs. Now, fiancé and SV without fail, every day to my annoyance, would lock the doors and windows to the house, every single one. My family has lived in that house since it was built in the early 60s, and never once was the back door locked. Eventually, I adopted and adapted to start locking the windows and doors before bed as part of our routine. We became a little family with our two fat cats and a round husky puppy. I love huskies. Halloween rolls around. It was uneventful. We handed out candy, watched movies, and we had work the following day. So after doing the window/door check, fiance and I go to our room with the puppy, and SV goes to his room with the cats. Everything completely normal within the routine. The puppy was 6 months old and very large. He'd always slept beside our bed on the floor. In the middle of the night, around 3 a.m. to be specific, the puppy starts crying. Fiance woke up first, since that was his side of the bed, and got up to take the puppy for a pee. They come back in and the puppy keeps crying. And these aren't soft little doggo whimpers. They're getting louder and louder and more panicked as time went on. So I get up and offer to take the puppy out again. Fiance grumpily said no, and puppy stops whining and runs off to the living room. We could hear him hop onto the old sofa, and with the house falling quiet again, we drift back off. 20 minutes later, we are awoken by the sound of our puppy screaming. It sounded like someone was beating the life out of him. Fiance and I both ran into the living room and found the puppy hiding underneath our coffee table, cowering and screaming as though he was getting whipped. The guys do their window/door check and everything was good. They put away their late night weapons of choice. Well, over coffee and breakfast the next day, we discussed what happened. SV tells us that he woke up somewhat shortly after we did, and he actually heard the puppy starting to whine. He woke up because he heard somebody stomp him through the home. He implied our arguing had woken him up, that the fiancé's stomping and slamming of stuff was not cool, and that's why the puppy was scared. We gave him a weird look and explained we weren't even awake then. And after some questioning, he said it sounded like somebody was wearing boots and digging through the kitchen. So this happened back when I was in high school at the time. Now, I was working part-time in a grocery store, and it had become a tradition of a bunch of us to all go to some kind of haunts for Halloween. Now, for the first year, we all went to a haunted forest and then haunted corn maze, and that began with me falling face first into a mud puddle, theoretically at the beginning, and then included things like getting stuck in a shed-type building with a slew of Jason Voorhees characters, being chased by Leatherface, and other such funny things. It was fun. Anyway, I want to say this was our third year doing so. We all headed to a haunted factory in a nearby city, and as this was before the advent of smartphones, we relied on printed directions. Because of the size of the group, we all had to travel in three cars basically, and I was in the last car of the caravan with my co-workers Noel and Janie, Ellis. We got lost because the people at the head of the group were terrible at navigation, and we ended up in a rough part of the city. At one point, we drove by a parking garage, and I even heard someone scream. Eventually our car got separated from the rest of the group at a stoplight, and by the time it turned green again, we lost everyone. We drove around for a while, talking to each other on the phone and trying to locate each other. I was in the back seat, talking to someone in the first car, Laura, and trying to direct my driver, Noel, while Laura tried to do the same with her husband who was driving. It was not going well. Eventually I was like, Noel, just pull over somewhere and then come find us. Now, there were lots of places Noel could have pulled over, like a Burger King, an office building parking lot, but he chose a kind of shady bar. I don't know why, perhaps because it was a large key bank sign nearby that served as a good landmark for others to find us. So we're waiting in this slot for the others when a line of about 7 cars pulled into the bar. This wasn't so surprising because it was a Friday night, but they don't park normally. They surround us. The front end of the car pointing towards us, and because of their closeness, there was no space for us to drive out of there. We're trapped for a few minutes. They just stared at us from their cars, and then they all suddenly got out and walked towards us. There's about 10 rough-looking guys. At this point, I'm convinced we're going to get robbed. I say, get your wallet out, I told Noel, as Jenny did the same. Now, I didn't really have much anyway. Now, I was just worried it wasn't enough. I was terrified but trying to stay calm, and Noel seemed genuinely not worried, but I can't believe he wasn't at least somewhat concerned, especially given his car contained both a teenager and his girlfriend. As for Jenny, she was so scared she was crying. The guy presumed to be the leader reaches for the door, approaching the passenger side where Janie and I were. He looked inside the car at us for a moment, and then he and all of his group went back to the cars normally. Well, I wasn't taking any chances and said, no, go to the Burger King now, for God's sake. We eventually grouped up with everybody else and made it to the factory, which was way less scarier than what we had endured. Now, I have a few theories. One of the guys got to the car and saw that we didn't have much to offer and didn't bother. However, it seems unlikely. Though most likely they thought there was only females in the car and then realized that there were some other guys. But who knows? It truly scared me though. I know it sounds cliche, but this did really happen on Halloween. I don't remember my exact age, but I do remember that I was a Charmeleon for Halloween that year. It was hot to be in Texas, Houston, but I enjoyed the heat, so it didn't really bother me that much. Anyway, my dad had taken me trick-or-treating around the suburban neighborhood that night. We were passing between two homes with garages that faced out onto the street. They were corner homes. These houses were known for giving out the best candy and really having the coolest costumes. I come to know them as the scary houses, but being the wimp that I was, I basically kept my head down and tried to scurry past them, knowing that they wanted to scare me. When I had walked far enough away, I turned around to see my dad laughing. "You can come back, sweetie, it's okay," he said, and everyone was looking at me. Then I noticed a guy standing behind my dad. He didn't have any skin. He was all muscle, dripping blood all over the concrete, and I thought, wow, what a costume. Then he walks through my dad like a ghost floating through the wall, as if he wasn't even there. My dad looked confused as he saw my face twist into pure horror. I quickly turned and ran as fast as I could. In cliche fashion, I tripped as I was running. I shoved my candy back into my bucket along with the dirt from a neighbor's yard because I was shoving so fast. Then I got to my feet and bolted to my house. When I got home, I locked every single door and window and really truly started crying. My poor father was outside. I remember speaking to my mum and her calming me down and letting my dad back in. When I mentioned it to him, he said he didn't see anything and looked truly concerned, and I never saw the skinned man again, but it still creeps me out to this day. Okay, so I'm 15, and not really somebody who believes in the paranormal or spirits when this happened, so I was trick-or-treating with my friend and some of my mum's friends' kids. We were walking near a small bridge to get to a small island known as Seabrook Island. It's a small neighborhood, but higher middle class. We're about to go over to the bridge, but me and my friend, that I'll refer to as Dal now, basically heard one of the other kids scream. So we all turn around and the kids were gone. And the decorations changed, and by change I mean gone. All the lights went out. That was strange for our neighborhood. Dao and I turned back to see how they got somehow in front of us. And they weren't in front of us, but the decorations gone. I mean, lights out and not a soul. I went to knock on some doors, but nobody answered on any of them. I was shocked and I was scared, but we kept trying to walk back to my house, but kept ending up next to this park with a green ladder and metal slide on a concrete door. Now, we kept on trying and trying to find some way out of this neighborhood to no avail. We just ended up walking right into the park like it was an alternative dimension. I tried to call my mom, but all of the contacts on my phone disappeared. And when I tried to enter the number manually, my phone just instantly died, like from 63% to dead. Every time that we turned our head, we seemed to be in a different part of the neighborhood, but that park still in our sight. I thought to myself, what if we look around the park and we found an unproportionately big footprint or something? Then Dal starts to get a nosebleed, but he's not really one to get nosebleeds out of thin air. We're scared at this point. We kept trying to look for just one person, and eventually we did find one person. We asked him if he had a phone, but he didn't speak English and just spoke gibberish. He understood that I needed a phone, but when he gives me one, it's all cracked and the touch dial didn't work at all. And the screen was showing a weird time that seemed to count up backwards. Now, when it hit 1 minute, then 0, it somehow connected, but disconnected from the internet. So we just ended up at the park. I knew I couldn't go back to that man. And all of a sudden, my phone turned back on and kept buzzing. I kept getting those spam messages. Ones that say, "Hey, Bill, try this cream," or, "Hey, try and do this." And my phone was going crazy. Then the screen went black and it displayed the time just like the man's phone did, with the seconds going backwards and minutes and so on, until all time reaches 12:01. All of a sudden, me and Dal were back in the neighborhood where we were before, and everything was back to normal without the park. We walked back home, but when we went to his house and I went to my house, I fell asleep, but I woke up, and Dal was there on the floor sleeping in the living room. He didn't know how or why he got there. I just shared this story with my friend, who I'll refer to as Chris. I shared this story with Chris as he was at a Halloween party and he said they played an Ouija board and didn't finish it correctly and just burnt the Ouija board. This was near the canal and not far from where we were, so I don't know what's going on. Okay, so I'll give an explanation to this experience, but I can tell you it was one of the most scary of my life, truly. My best friend at the time, my brother, his friends, and my friend's boyfriend all went to our local abandoned house, which we called it the Witch's Circle, to go ghost hunting. Now, this little abandoned house is actually a national park called Little Basin Creek Reservoir, but there's actually a story behind this house, which I don't know how much of it I believe, but it is said that on Halloween night in the 50s or something, two guys brought their girlfriends out for a sacrifice. I've gone to some archives, done tons of research, but can't really find too much about it. This Halloween we went out there, and we're the only cars out there. You have to drive past the town a little ways out to a dirt road to get there, and that's one spot for parking, so we gotta make sure we're the first to get there. As we start making our walk down to the trail that leads to the home, I'm holding my best friend's hand. So then, we walk under a tree, and the entire time, I'm staring at the house and not paying attention to my surroundings like I should be in a dark wooded area. A small branch from the tree that we're walking under suddenly falls and lands horizontally at my feet. I didn't see this happen, but my friend and my brother did. They stopped to look at me, and then we step over a couple. I should have taken this as a warning not to go further, but I did. And as we got further to the house, now it's not a super long walk to the house, maybe 120 feet from the entrance. We all stood quietly amongst ourselves, and then we heard a very high-pitched scream coming from the backyard of the house. We stopped in our tracks and I ran back towards the car. I've never been more terrified before. It's a sound like I've never heard before and I cannot erase from my memory, that high-pitched death scream. There's no way I can debunk this as we were the only ones out there and it definitely wasn't the sound of an animal, especially because it sounded very human and female. I've never been able to explain it. Now this took place in 2010 on Halloween. I was a sophomore in high school, not really at the age to full out party for me anyway, and not really at the age where I wanted to sit at home with my parents all night handing out candy because I was too old to trick or treat. Now that day at school, a group of 5 or 6 friends and I decided to make plans to roam around the city, wreaking havoc, you know, typical 16-year-old Halloween stuff. It started out pretty chill. We all got ready / dressed up in our costumes, etc. I didn't have one planned out, but I was a bit erratic at the time, so I winged it. I wore some purple pants, a rainbow bandana, and every other colour accessory you could imagine until, ultimately, I was a rainbow, my costume. During our first adventure, we went to Target to walk around and show off all our costumes. I remember distinctly this lady walked up to us, who didn't really give us any bad vibes and told us all some crazy stuff. We talked to her about how we were going to play with her Ouija board and stuff and so on. Now her mood immediately changed from friendly to taken aback, almost like she wants to run away. She told us that she had a twin sister and felt very strange. She told us not to mess with the unknown because her sister is psychic and she knew things. and didn't think much of the encounter with a random old stranger on Halloween at Target anyway, but hey. We did play with the Ouija board, but nobody got possessed, nor had a creepy encounter with a demon. This is where the encounter comes into play. It was dark. We are bored. Five of us are in my small room, where my parents are home. We had more of a chance of getting some excitement by walking around the neighborhood than sitting in my room playing board games. Now, it was a lot of fun, until we passed a large dimly lit vacant parking lot. It was vacant, all but one van situated facing towards the street. This time I got bad vibes as we're walking by. Just as we're passing by, the window rolls down. Some of us looked back and some of us kept going. I stopped to look back, but it was so dark that all I could see is a faint glow of a cigarette. For some reason, what she said will stick with me forever. She said, "Hey kids, come here, get some candy." I don't get a lot of kids where I'm from. Luckily, I was close enough to home at this point where I could have gotten there if I needed really quick, and that's exactly what all of us done. Now, I'm really against judging people, but there was definitely something wrong that night. So this happened on the eve of Halloween one night. Now, basically, me and my friends had gone out to a music concert. We had a really great time there and I was really enjoying myself. We actually got here way too early and it was relatively frustrating, to be honest. I mean, literally, we downed our drinks before we got inside because apparently it was going to start at 3. But it turned out the gates opened at 3. We realised that basically nobody's around and it kind of sucked. I also had a Halloween costume on because that was the theme of it, so I was especially sweaty and whatnot. It turns out if you can't sit down for a good 8 or 9 hours, you don't really appreciate anything that's in front of you, and that's exactly what happened to me. The main act was pretty good, don't get me wrong, but once you've been standing around there all day with nothing to do except for drinking a little bit, then drink lots of water, you end up getting really bored and hungry. And we racked up a big old fortune on the food there. Now by the end of the night I was completely sober because I drank so much water and because it was honestly going on for too long. And with that, we headed back home. Now we ended up going a different way from most people and we had to walk along a neighborhood that we knew. It was really nice seeing all of the Halloween decorations up and whatnot and it kind of made me feel quite peaceful. My friend said that he thought he knew a shortcut we could take and we rounded a bend. Now, we round a bend and end up in a big park that we have to walk through. So for the first part of the walk, I'm using a small flashlight that I have so we can see where we're going because God, it's really dark. I didn't really have a good idea about doing this, but I was just so desperate to get home now that I decided this is the right way to go. As we're walking through the first part, I come across a very weird wooden structure. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's almost like a hollowed out building made out of wood, but this thing looks like it's about 500 years old. It's really like nothing I've ever seen before, and there's strange crossings and markings on all different parts of the wood. Now we walk past this and we come up to another path, and I take my first foot on and a rat runs past me. Then a few more rats and a few more rats and literally probably 100 of the things ran past and that's like something I've never ever seen before and it really scared me. I can just about make out the outline of somebody else further ahead but when I look up I can't find them again. I think this is pretty odd but I decide that I should just keep going with my friend now. We continue walking on the path and I realize that there's an area that my friend can jump over. Now my friend's not really the best of climbers so I decide to let him go first because I think at least I'll know how to get over there if I really need to quickly. So I quickly let my friend get across. He jumps across and says, "Hey, I'm gonna have to meet you at the train station. Are you okay to climb?" I say, "Yeah, don't worry about it," and my friend goes off. I didn't climb initially because I needed to pee, to be honest, so we say our goodbyes and I go to urinate. So now I'm basically in this big pot completely on my own, and I go to do my business. A couple of minutes after doing so, I turn back and I realize that most of the lights have went out around where I am now, which is pretty odd because I was going to need them to climb again. And they were all on before, so this is really strange. Luckily, my night eyes have set in at this point, so I'm not too worried, but this is something distinctly odd that I noticed. What was really strange is when I headed back to exactly where I was before, the fence seems 4 times as high as it was before, and it just didn't exist like it had previously. Now, this is really strange for me because I was certain of how it looked before, and literally nothing was wrong with it. I sigh and say, "Ah, fine, I'm gonna have to find the other way out." And I headed over to an opposite area of the woods. Now I've gone a little bit deeper in, and I make it up to a large wall. As I get closer to the wall, I now realize that it's very large. In fact, almost impossibly large. I realize it's something I can stand on, but I'm not sure whether it's asbestos or not, so I decide not to actually climb up it. I go a little bit further out and I can see another one of those strange wooden structures. I place just one hand on it and I hear a strange chime sound in the background. I can't figure out where the sound comes from, but it's really weird and almost like an ambient sound I've never heard produced naturally before. I go to put my hand on the wood again, but it almost feels hot this time. And I realize that I probably shouldn't be touching this just in case somebody's burning anything nearby, and maybe I haven't noticed it. Eventually I manage to climb off a tree, and I just about can see the top of the wall. I manage to lean across onto it and I look down, and to my amazement, the place looks completely different to what it did before. All of the houses look almost exactly the same. I mean, literally identical, really. And there's only a couple of street lamps on, which is odd. What's really bizarre is how quiet it is. Now, I know I should be close to a main road, but I can't hear anything. I look down at my phone and go to text my friend, but I can't get my phone to turn on. I actually have to start telling myself to remain calm at this point because I don't want to have to jump over here and get arrested because I am technically trespassing, but I don't know how I'm going to get out. I know sleeping here is not really a good idea because how cold I'm going to get, but other than that, I can literally just walk around aimlessly trying to make the night pass, but my parents are going to have a heart attack if I'm not in time. All of this is flashing through my head when I tell myself, okay, stay calm, figure out where you are, then see where to go. I say, oh, I can just check on my maps and see exactly where I am. Oh no, I can't, right? I haven't got any battery or something. I decide to ease my way back down the tree now. I decide that I should probably try and go up to the same part of the fence again I did before, and try and find the part my friend climbed over. Eventually I make my way around there, with some of the brush and things that I'm stepping over cutting up the back of my ankles. It actually really hurt. I wasn't too worried about that though. And again, I make it back to the same area, and it's just like before, almost bigger. This doesn't make sense, there are probably 30 feet fences going straight up, but how could that be? And I decide to look through to try and figure out where I am, but it's the same again. Pretty much the exact same houses I'd seen before, and perfectly quiet with a couple of street lamps on, but nothing else this time. They're given a strange yellow glow too, or more orange, which is something I haven't encountered before. I decide it's best if I just keep moving along. Now, I hadn't really been in this park before in daytime, other than the music thing, so now I was having a really hard time trying to orientate myself. I decide that I should cut back through another part of this area to try and find another way out. While walking, I realize that there's a very large brick wall that's only about 1 foot high that seems to run directly parallel to the fence. The bricks look very old and a very dark color, but it's odd because I've never really seen it before. That's when a large old house comes into view. This looks like a mansion from the 1800s, and it's particularly weird. Again, I didn't notice this during the daytime. As I'm walking, I can hear a faint squeak sound, and it becomes apparent that there's lots of rats around. I think, God, that smells disgusting, and I get this strange, pungent smell. I can't figure out where the rats are, but I can hear them scurrying around me, and I kid you not, it sounds like there's thousands here. I start to get the feeling that something's off now, and I ended up going slowly towards the house. As I get there, I realize that this thing sat vacant too, but it honestly looks like it was abandoned the day before. It's hard to describe, but I can see a gap in the fence that I go towards. As I'm walking, I can see somebody walking ahead of me, and I quickly duck down. Thinking that it's somebody else who got lost like me, I say, "Hey, hey, hey, do you know the way out, bud?" And they turn around and say something to me in a weird accent that I really don't understand and continue walking. I decide that I should stay well back for them, and they slowly turn around a corner. I don't see them much now, and I think, "Ah, that must be the way out," and I go to follow them. Now this is the strangest part for me. They're literally nowhere. Nowhere at all. I look left and right and say, "Hey, hey," somewhat muted in a hushed tone, but they've literally vanished. That can't really make sense because there's literally nowhere for them to have gone. And why is there no sound? I realize now that this person didn't make a sound at all. They were just dressed in drabby clothes and a straw hat, which I thought they probably just picked up because it was Halloween. It kind of looked like the uniform that a scarecrow would wear, you know, like the more classic ones, but maybe they weren't wearing a uniform after all for Halloween, I thought to myself. "Stop it," I say, and I decide to jog back for safety. I now make it towards a lake that I didn't realize was there before. I go to wash my hands in it, but I realize that it looks impossibly black. I grab the torch and quickly flash it on, holding it in my hand to try and not make too much light to not give away my position. And I'm right, it's almost pitch black, like absorbing my torch kind of dark. I look up and I can just about see some light glistening off of it and some mist, but again, this is really bizarre. I thought maybe it was extremely dirty, but it's not like anything I've ever seen before similar. I ended up resting here for a while, and I noticed something else odd. There's no animals around whatsoever. You know, usually you get ducks and things that like to live in the water. There's literally nothing, and there's a silence. That's the part that really creeps me out. I sigh, just in pure desperation and obsessiveness of the situation, and I realize that's the only sound. I can then feel that there's something happening behind me, and I turn back to look at the lake, and I can see some kind of figure just standing in the middle of the lake. I quickly duck down, thinking that somebody's drunk or maybe high over there, and observe for a couple of minutes. They stay perfectly still before slowly raising their hands up. Now, I can't tell you how deep this lake was, but unless they were Jesus, I don't know how they could have possibly been floating there. But they have their hands next to them raised up, and just perfectly silent before some rain starts to fall near them. Now, it's bizarre because I can't hear the sounds of splashing water or anything. So I decide to slowly head back. I turn around one more time and I can see that they're no longer there. I think this is extremely odd, but maybe, just maybe, it was my eyes not adjusting to the dark well. But that was really weird. Another strange thing is that a mist has picked up now that's slowly coming across from the lake. I don't really know how mist or fog works, but this doesn't seem right. It seems to just come out of nowhere all of a sudden, and the next thing I knew, I was pretty much jogging to get back to that fence. Now, I eventually make it back to where I was originally, and again, I realize that I can't really find any way out of here. I look around for any signs of others, but there's literally no one at all. I decide to go back to the wall that I couldn't scale before, and as I head over there, it looks different again. It seems like I have to walk much further than where I did before. It's weird because I couldn't find the tree that I climbed up before. How big is this place? I think to myself, as I start sprinting around trying to find a way out. Now, I'm pretty good at long distance running, so I decide I'm going to jog to the opposite side of the park. So I start running now, and I'm running for a good 10 minutes without stopping. I'm getting quite heavily out of breath now because of the pace of it, but I've covered a good area, and I realize something odd. The scenery's not changing. It just seems to be going on forever and forever. The only thing I realize is that the fog is picking up more and more now. It almost gets to the point where I can't really see anything around me, and I have to stop for a moment to catch my breath. I then begin jogging in the direction that I come, and eventually make it back to where I think I started. But it's really odd. There's no way that I shouldn't have found the entrance to here. I would have easily covered it, and why didn't I see the lake before? Why haven't I seen it since? Now, I can hear some sounds of mice again, along with rats and God knows what else, and a very strong smell picks up. At this point, I decide that the only way I'm getting out of here is with my phone and calling for help. I decide I'll deal with the consequences later, and I start rubbing my phone frantically on my pants trying to get them to charge up again. I sit here for a good 4 or 5 minutes doing this, press my phone, nothing happens. Thank God, and I hit the ground. As I do, I put my hand in some kind of slush that I didn't realize was there before, and I look up to see if I'm sitting in anything. I realize then that the fog has become almost all-consuming. I really can't see far around me. I stand up, thinking, am I actually going to survive here? And I hear the most piercing banshee type scream I've ever heard in my life. It was so powerful that it reverberated through my body and I felt the vibration in my bones. It took me a second to realize what had happened, and I realized suddenly I was in some kind of danger that I hadn't been in before. I ended up falling to the ground, and I think it was honestly out of fear, but I just started sprinting. I didn't really know what direction I was running in, but I was sprinting as fast as I could. I ran as quick as possible, and I started hearing a high-pitched laughing from behind me. I tried my absolute best not to give away my position, but the laughter seemed to be following me. I still had no idea where I was running, until eventually I thud into a tree, and I pass out for a couple of minutes. I wake up again, confused as to where I am, and I soon realize I'm still in the same situation. I touch my head and it's bleeding a little bit, and I decide just to start walking now. Not sure whether I've been attacked or what happened, I decide that the best thing I can do is just keep walking. I make it onto a path and decide to follow it. It leads me through some forested area, and eventually I make it back onto a concrete path, and I think I know where I am. After some running, I make it out into the area that I think I started in before. I realize too that my shoes are covered in sand, which is pretty bizarre because I don't know where it could have come from. Now, when I was outside, there still weren't many people around, but I could see the odd car. I ended up jogging all the way to the next bus station and desperately tried to get my phone to come on, and it did. Now, the thing I saw next is what I couldn't believe the most. I turned my phone on and it had only been 5 minutes. I mean, literally, if I had to guess, I was stuck in that park for a good hour or two but no, this said it was only 5 minutes. I ended up calling my buddy and asking him where he was and what happened. And I say, God, I just got lost in there, where are you? And he then explains to me that he's only been out of here for about 4 minutes and was waiting at the station, and that he's going to head back to me. In pure disbelief, I don't bother explaining anything else and say fine and turn off my phone again, trying to conserve the battery because it's not that great. Eventually, my buddy makes it back to me and says, God, what happened? I told you not to climb anything. I then start explaining what happened and say, hey, I didn't climb anything. I don't know what happened. This park is huge. And did you see the lake? He says, what lake? There's no lake. I start explaining what happened and my friend suddenly starts looking really scared. I ask him what's wrong and he said, you can't possibly have sand on your shoes. Where would that have come from? There's no lake in there. You shouldn't have sand on you. What happened? And I explain more and get to the part where I saw that figure in the lake. My friend looks at me very cold and says he saw exactly the same thing in his sleep the other night. He starts to explain that in his dream, we'd gone out to a music thing, but it was different from this. And the next thing he knew, he was standing in a lake with a large dark figure on the other end of it, raising its hands up, screaming at him, and he couldn't move. And he said the water was pitch black and he was sinking into it. My friend says that he's got to take me to hospital to get me checked out for my head. We eventually make it there, and luckily they say nothing's wrong and I don't need any stitches. My friend offers to take me home and we can't stop talking about what happened. My friend said that from his point of view, I was only gone for 4 or 5 minutes and that's why he didn't come looking for me. And when I explain to him how large the park was, he says it doesn't make sense and it's not possible. Neither of us have a clue what happened to me that day. All I can think is I stepped into another dimension somehow, or some kind of evil spirit was playing games with me. I guess I'll never know. The following happened when I was much younger, out trick-or-treating one night. Now, I just reached the age when I was able to go out on my own with a couple of other friends, and this was a really exciting proposition. I really enjoyed the idea of not having my parents around and just going out to wherever I wanted. Basically, my mum given me a rule that I wasn't allowed to go further than a couple of blocks, but of course we broke this. We always, being kids, decided to go much, much further. After hitting up all of the houses around us, we decided that we would get a bus and go far beyond where we were currently. Now, when we got on the bus, we immediately had a feeling that it was going to be really good and we were going to find lots of candy that we hadn't before. Now, we started telling each other ghost stories and we have a grand old time until we stop and the driver says it's the end of the line. Now, because of the heat from us talking and the moisture in the air, we couldn't really see outside the windows, so I use my jumper and I wipe off the window to look out. Now, we really did come to the end of the line, and I don't know where it was, and I still don't today. We said, okay, when's the next bus back? And he said, in 40 minutes. We all looked at each other and said no. We knew that our parents were going to absolutely kill us for this. We might as well not come back at all. But if we had to wait, we had to wait. And what better to do than to go trick-or-treating more? Now, the area that we're in was somewhat abandoned because of a fire that happened not too long ago. The fire was actually huge and almost reached my house, and it kind of scared me at the time, especially because I wasn't in the same state when it happened, so I was convinced that my home was going to burn, but it was kind of interesting, but hey, it didn't. So we go to some of the houses and realize that they're pretty much all abandoned. Until then, we notice a faint glow of a house just off in the distance, which seems to have Halloween decorations up. Trick or treat, one of my friends shouts as he jogs off there, and we all follow suit. We get closer and closer, and we start to get a more and more weird feeling as we approach. Something about this just feels off. We get very close to it. Then, one of my friends bravely decides to go forward, but before he can even take his first step, the door flings open, and there's nothing. We let out a scream and start to head back, until we can see somebody step out very slowly. This is one of the oldest looking people that I've ever seen in my life, and somebody who seems like they've never had a tooth in their life to begin with. They let out a really bizarre laugh and say, "Hey. Hey, don't be scared, it's just me, your good old friend Bob." We looked at each other kind of nervously, luckily within the age where we have a consciousness and a sense to weird people like this. He says, "Come on in, I've got lots of candy for you. You just gotta go downstairs into my basement. There's so much I can't bring it all up." My friend then says, no, that's fine. And stupidly, one of my really dumb friends says, "Yeah, let's go." And I quickly grab him. His face suddenly turns to that of absolute rage as he realizes we're not going forward, until he starts laughing again, saying, "Come on, don't make me get you guys down there. No, I'm joking. Just come into my house now. Wait, I need to get something for you." And he turns around, leaving the door wide open, and there's an absolutely disgusting smell coming from there. We all turn around and start sprinting off in the opposite direction. Now, we're not really sure much else of what he did beyond that point, because he basically disappeared into the blackness of his house, and we all pretty much sprinted off towards the bus. We're all screaming at each other saying how stupid we are to have done this, and start laughing at the guy just because of how weird it was. Now, it's safe to say we didn't wait for the bus, and we ended up jogging for quite a while. We ended up half jogging, half walking for a good 25 minutes before we found another bus that luckily stopped for us. The driver was extremely kind, asking where we were going. He said he's not in service, but he didn't mind dropping us off and asked us how did we get out there. We said we didn't know, but where we needed to get was very important, and he said he understood. He closes the door behind us and starts driving off. I still don't know where we were, even to this day. But as the bus started peeling off, we can just about make off in the distance the old man standing on his porch with something in his hand, clearly staring in our direction. What was bizarre too is he didn't seem to break contact with us until the bus is out of sight. Now, we must have went really far because it took almost an hour and a half before we got back to our street. I quickly went inside, and luckily my mum didn't realise anything was off. She just said, "Why haven't you got any candy with you?" And I realised that I dropped it all when I was running from Bob. I never told her about it because it would really scare her, but my god, was that a creepy experience thinking back on it. Now, I'm one of those people who really enjoyed Halloween. I'm also one of those people that live pretty much in the middle of nowhere. Now, that hasn't really changed much in my adult life or when I was much younger, which, annoying for me now, is quite a while ago. But guess what? I was young once, and I do remember things from it well. Now, where I lived was really in the middle of nowhere. My parents happened to live somewhere that was pretty deep in the forest, and it was annoying for some things because it basically meant that you had to drive if you wanted to get anywhere. Even if it was just simple like groceries or trying to get water bottles, you had to go pretty far to do so. Now, the problem with that was before I could drive, I would actually get really painfully bored, and I guess that's pretty much what you could imagine, to be honest, because what could you possibly do? I mean, I could ride a bike, but it would take forever, and I didn't have the energy for it, and plus I was a little bit lazy when I was younger. But eventually, the day came that I could drive, and the good thing about that is it meant we had a couple of adventures to look forward to with me and my friends. Now, before I get to that part, I'd like to share something with you all. Now, because where we lived, Halloween was only celebrated by a pumpkin outside the front of our yard. There wasn't really much else we would do because we would never get any visitors. I mean, what'd you expect? And who would have the energy to do that? You would occasionally, I mean, very rarely have the odd visitor who would bring their children in their car, but other than that, it was no one really. So on one particular day when I was young, I was very surprised to hear a knock on the door. Now I looked out the window, and I could see somebody dressed as a ghost. It was fairly dark outside, but strangely, they looked almost transparent partly, and I thought it was a really cool outfit to wear. It's almost like a mixture of white and black, but not grey, if you know what I mean. And I could kind of see through them, which was really odd. I thought this was the coolest thing ever. Now, this must have been quite a tall kid, because this person was about 6'3" in height, if I had to guess. That's far bigger than I am anyway, especially back then. Now, I looked around and panicked because I couldn't find anything to give to them. I thought, oh god, this is going to be awkward when I have to turn them away, isn't it? I quickly looked around and luckily found an apple very shortly, and I was able to hand this over to them. Now, thankfully, in doing so, I managed to tell my mum what I was doing, and she said that was fine. So I quickly go over to the door, open it, and shout trick or treat back to them. I know it's meant to be the other way round, but honestly, I thought it was the best joke ever back then. I actually still do it to children now that come to our home. But anyway, to my surprise, nobody was there. This was really odd because I knew somebody was there and they couldn't have moved away in time. I quickly jump out and look around near the porch, but I can't see anyone. Now that's odd. There 100% was someone there only moments ago. I ended up jogging around a little bit trying to look for anyone and say, hey, I've got your cat. Go to say candy but realize I don't have any and say, I've got your treat here. Where are you? I guess they don't like apples, I say to myself. I then hear a blood-curdling scream. Maybe they didn't like my joke. I think maybe it was somebody just playing games on me and trying to scare me, you know, like they've gone to your house, waited for you to come outside, then tried to make you jump. But then I realized something different now. The scream I heard was from my mom. I immediately sprint and slide and slam the door behind me. I sprint into my mom's room, and my dad's comforting my mom, saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And she points to the window. She said she just saw somebody dressed as a ghost peering in through the window, and I then say, "Mom, Mom, I saw them." Me and my dad look at each other for a second, then we both sprint outside. My dad seems a little bit angrier than I've ever seen him before, and I'm just annoyed somebody's being mean to my mom. So my dad has a flashlight with him, peers it around, can't see anybody. He goes to the other side of the house and can't find anyone again. That's pretty bizarre. I then go into the other side and realize that there's nobody around. Impossible, I say to my dad. I saw them. My dad says, I know. How could they have hidden? Maybe they're on the roof. With that, my dad quickly grabs a ladder and starts making his way up. I say, Dad, I don't think this is a good idea, but he won't listen to me. I hear trudge, trudge, trudge on the roof, then after a few seconds, he returns again and says, nobody's there, and I have to hold the ladder. To be honest, this is probably the most dangerous part because I wasn't very strong and I didn't weigh much and I wasn't sure if I could hold my dad's weight on it. But he comes back down and looks at me and says, "Something's off, kid," and we both go back inside. Now we ended up calling the law enforcement because we thought anybody out there would have had to be absolutely off their mind to be doing this, especially in the night time, because all you can do is run off into the forest, but we couldn't see them anywhere, and that would have only meant that they were hiding. After a long wait, I mean literally 2 hours, some law enforcement officers do arrive finally, and they do a big search of the area and some of the woods. I thought to myself, I'm really happy that it wasn't me that had to go off into the woods like that because I'd be scared. But I become more scared upon their return. They tell us that they didn't find anything. Nada. Nothing. Now that's pretty strange. I don't really want to jump the gun and say what I saw was a ghost, but I don't really know what else I could have possibly seen. It just didn't add up to me. Now, anyway, that was my first story, and was actually quite annoying because since then my mom's always been paranoid and seems to just stare at the windows, almost looking for it to come back. She's not necessarily traumatized by the situation, but definitely far more cautious now. It would have been easy to say she just saw the curtains or something, but we didn't have curtains on that particular window, and I saw the same thing, and my mom described it perfectly the same to me, partially transparent and just looking kind of tall, almost too tall and stick-like. So that was my first encounter that I had, which I couldn't really explain. Now, the other come from a couple of years later while I was driving. Now, this is in the later years and I had my truck, and on Halloween, lots of my friends would like to go around just to the really remote areas and do trick-or-treating, because A, nobody did it, so you'd always get really good candy, and B, it was just fun and there wasn't much else to do, and hey, I have a truck, so why not? We actually all dressed up for this, and we knew one house that we could go to that would always give us really good stuff. We ended up hitting most of the towns around us and eventually decided that we're gonna have to go somewhere different this time. My friend said that he knew about one particular house that always had some weird vibes about it. Apparently, some people lived there sometimes, but not always, but they would always act really strange when you approached. I couldn't say no to this, especially because I was already in the Halloween spirit, so I say, why not? Now, it's not necessarily a quick drive to get there, it's about an hour, but when the roads are clear, that doesn't really take too long. So we ended up heading over there. Now, the first part of the journey was pretty good, to be honest, and I was actually worried that this place didn't exist. I'd heard rumors about this before, about other people that had went up there and got really scared, but I didn't really believe it. I just thought it was going to be some abandoned place and my friend was going to try and make me jump. I mean, after all, that was always my go-to when things were strange. We drove for what felt like miles and miles, and it was particularly dark now, because when you drive into very rural areas, there really isn't much light out here in the sticks, and you won't really get any street lamps too. There just aren't enough people for it to be a viable thing. So all you have is your headlights, and that means it's very hard to spot anything, and also, you can't really see what's coming. Now eventually we get to a place and my friend says this is the spot, and we don't really believe him. We all get out and hesitantly start to go following him. Now he takes us into another part of the woods, and we're starting to get quite away from my truck. I say to him, hey, do you actually know what way we have to go to get back? Because I'm not really in the mood to get lost out here alone. Even if I've got a group of friends, I know what's gonna happen. My friend says, no, don't worry, just follow me. Now he's taking us through a part of the woods where there's lots of puddles around. It's rained recently and it's actually quite annoying because you constantly have to watch your step and you always feel like you're about to fall over. Or at least for me, because I tend to quite a lot. Now, while we're walking, our clothes are getting more and more muddy, and my shoes are pretty much a wreck at this point, and my jeans are soaked through. I still have some of my Halloween costume on, being the top half of my mask, but I actually take it off, because it's gonna start getting wrecked by the rain. Some of my other friends actually said to the guy who was leading us there, I want to head back, but he persisted, no, just come on. We're gonna make it, it's not much further now. So he's pretty much leading all of us up this forest path now. We don't know exactly where we're going, and the trees seem to be getting thicker and thicker. There's lots of insects about too, which is actually quite annoying. Some of them have gone in because of the rain, but others have sticked around because of the humidity, and it's actually really annoying. Now, eventually, believe it or not, we did stumble upon something. All the way down the end of this path that we can see is a house standing alone. Now, this thing looked like it was out of the Amityville horror film. I really don't want to go and investigate. I look at my friends thinking they're going to be agreeing with me, You know when you can do a glancing look and your eyes can speak a thousand words? Well, I do that and I hear nothing back from their eyes. Everybody seems to be absolutely blind to the situation, and everybody's persistent that we should press on. Now, I'm very, very hesitant about doing so because something just feels completely off about this whole situation. I don't know how far away we are from the car. I don't really want to run in the dirt because, well, to be honest, at the time I was worried about my jeans a lot because they're expensive. And Halloween's gonna be over soon, so what are we doing here? But we continue on. Now, every step we took seemed to feel more and more menacing, I don't know why. We eventually make it into somewhat of a clearing, and we're probably about 50 meters away from the home. Now, there's no lights on at all, which is pretty convincing that it's empty, but it was getting late, so maybe other people who lived in there had went to sleep or something. We all stop for a moment to look at each other. And then my friend says, "So who wants to go first?" I actually start laughing and saying, "No way you've brought us all out here and you won't actually go in there." He says, "Hey, I just don't feel it right now." Then one of my friends decides that they're gonna go and do it, go and be brave. I say this isn't a good idea and that we should all turn back, but they're in pretty much disbelief that anything could happen, as we are to why they would want to do it. So this one friend bravely goes forward with a stupid little bag ready to go and get some tricks or treats from whoever's in there. At best, they're going to come out with an out-of-date candy bar. At worst, they're going to come back with God knows what. But they're adamant and make their way. They get about halfway there and they turn to look back at us just to laugh when there's this weird sound in the woods. It's really bizarre, but it sounds like something very loud has just been dropped on the ground, and then a scream. Now, I can't tell you what made the scream because the next thing I knew, we were all running, but my God, was it horrifying. We quickly turn back to make sure the other friend has come, and one of my other friends is screaming, and I see a light on in the building. That was it. We all bolted out of there. We run for as long as we possibly can, and all of us being relatively unathletic, that's not very long. We eventually make it back to my truck, however, and I basically sped the whole way back. All of us are arguing with each other, saying how stupid it is to actually have gone, but that friend is counter-arguing, saying, "Oh, we don't know what was there, we should go back and investigate." And I say, "Are you out of your mind? That could be a killer." It really spooks me out because nobody was around. And why was there such a loud scream coming from God knows where, just off in the woods? And I just couldn't believe the house wasn't abandoned because I was absolutely convinced that there was nobody in there. But God, the image of that's burned into my memory, even now seeing the lights on in there. We eventually make it back, and for the next couple of years we never did anything like it. I guess we all kind of forgot about what had happened that day, and all of us decide that it's going to be a good idea to reattempt again, another Halloween. And yep, you guessed it, the ringleader was still the same person as before. Now on this particular Halloween, we decide that we're just going to head straight over there and not do any of the other stuff that we'd usually do before. So we're not going to bother going to any of the other towns, we're literally just going to go straight there and find out what's wrong. Now, I know when you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, this is a really dumb idea. But I guess I was a little bit naive and relatively young at the time, so in my mind this is an absolutely great idea to solve the mystery. And time kind of healed the nerves a little bit, so off we head once again. Now this time, while we're driving, we realise that there's something blocking the road, which is really odd. Literally, there's a large boulder in the path which wasn't there last time, so it completely stops you from going there if you go by a car. So we have no option but to get out now, and we have to walk. Now, my friend who knows the area relatively well knows a path that we can take that should still take us up there. So, off we set once again. Now, weirdly, it was raining just like all those years ago, and some things feel familiar. I don't really know why. Maybe it was deja vu of doing the same thing, but it just felt like we're reenacting a scene almost. Now, while we're walking, we come across a stream which perfectly interjects on our path. That means to overcome it, we can either walk for a mile to find a bridge or stone skip. And I'm much better at stone skipping, so I quickly jump across. The other friend who originally wanted to do this jumps across too, and I actually feel quite good for having him there. Then, my other friend tries, and what do you know? They go straight into the water. He says, "God, come on, I'm not gonna do this, let's head back." The others are kind of hesitant as to what to do, but they all decide that they're not gonna bother coming. I then look at my friend and he looks at me and we both nod to each other. It's time for us to sort this out once and for all, to close the mystery. Now, I'm probably not as brave as Ben was, but I feel like having him there makes me feel a little bit more safe, and we're a bit bigger than we were last time we did this. We hand over the keys and tell the others just to wait inside and that we're gonna go off on our own. Now, to walk there was a very long mission, because of course we could have drove for a good 5 minutes or so, and just half the time it would take or less, but now we're gonna have to trek a bit. Also, it's still pretty muddy everywhere, and the same things happened again, only this time I wore some waterproof things and I actually had an umbrella. The thing was, that didn't last for too long because the foliage was pretty thick up here, so this basically meant we were just ducking under things with the umbrella down now. Now, we actually made it to a part of the woods that looked really beautiful, but there was nice leafage on the ground that kind of contrasted the colour of the trees really well. And it was one of the only moments that I really felt calm and at peace. Maybe it's just because I was out in the greenery and whatnot, but I don't know, it was just kind of weird and really took my mind off everything. Now eventually, we make it back to that old clearing, and the house looked even worse than before. This time, I was absolutely certain that nobody could have possibly lived in there. There was some more foliage that had grown around it and it looked long abandoned. So we decide to go up there. Now my friend Ben called out trick or treat from there, and I stop him and say, "Be quiet, just in case there's animals or stuff in there." And he actually nods his head silently and agrees. Now we're in a good situation where we can just go forward and see what was up. Now while walking, I felt my hand go very tingly along with my legs, and I started to feel a little bit weak. I realise now that my body was just not in a good way because of fear. I was being taken over by the fear now. We eventually make it within about 10 metres, then 5, then 4, then 3, then stop to look up. Ben was convinced that he heard something and made me stop, but I can't really hear anything. We quietly whisper trick or treat as a joke and start laughing a bit. Then my friend Ben nods and decides to go for the door. I say, "Stop, are you crazy? We've done what we wanted." And he says, "No, let's go, come on. We're nearly there now." And he slowly opens the door. He has a flashlight and quickly shines that on. And he peers it around, then says, "Look, there's nobody here, we're good." He says that he wants to investigate what's upstairs, and I decide to look around the kitchen, another area. Now, for some reason, this place didn't feel too abandoned like I thought it would have been. It looked pretty old and disused, but not in the kind of state I thought it would be. There was some food around that was partly rotten, but some that wasn't, and I thought, maybe they just had some weird preservatives, or I don't know, maybe it was just petrified food. Upon closer inspection, that was the case, and I saw some bugs move around, and it made me feel quite sick. I can then hear some creaks of the stairs as Ben goes upstairs. I then make my way out of the kitchen and go into the living area, and I hear a loud thud, a scream and a bang. I'm frozen in place and let out a kind of moany scream myself and say, "But Ben," and I hear crashing down the stairs. I quickly dart behind the door and I wait for a few seconds. I'm waiting for the commotion to die down, then I take my chance and sprint too. I say, "Ben, Ben," and scream, "Ben," and thankfully I can see Ben on the porch. He says, "Go, go." I say, "What's wrong? What's happened?" And he's holding his hand now. I say, "God, what's wrong?" And he says, "I'm bleeding. We have to get back," he screams to me. And panicking, I take a quick glance behind me, and I can see multiple dark figures up in the top of the house moving around with a light on. There's got to be at least four of them up there. I say, "What happened?" He says, "They've attacked me and tried to grab me." He then shows me his hand and I can see he has a deep cut on it, and I'm really worried about this. I tell him that he has to keep pressure on it, and we ended up sprinting back deep into the forest to a part that we haven't been in before. Luckily, Ben really knows his way around well and eventually got us back towards the stream. We then go to jump over it and I stupidly, clumsily fell in. I accidentally swallowed some water and it tasted disgusting, and as I'm getting up, I luckily vomited it out again, and we sprint all the way back to the car. The friends are waiting there, and we scream at them to just drive, and take us over to the hospital. We didn't explain what had happened, but we needed urgent help, and we eventually make it to the hospital, and the nurses there, or whoever it was, say that they can only take Ben in, and we have to wait. I then quickly asked to use a phone and made a police report explaining what had happened. They say they're going to send a unit out to investigate. I then quickly explain what happened to the others and they all start parading me for being so stupid and clumsy. Luckily, after a couple of hours, Ben came out and he was okay. They managed to stop the bleeding and heal the wound. They said they just have to run some tests and give him injections because they don't know what he was stabbed with and he doesn't. Eventually, we have to go and take the other friends back and I need to phone the police again to ask for a follow-up and to give them more information. Eventually, the police come over to my house where I had Ben there and my concerned parents and I tell them what happened. They say something was definitely wrong and they send out their units to investigate the whole area. Now, to this day as I'm writing this story, I never knew what actually happened when the police investigated. All I can do is imagine that there was a group of people squatting in there who were probably trying to do drugs or something and thought we were a threat, but deep down I feel like it was something far worse. I'm convinced that there was something really off that day, and the scream that we heard those years before was linked somehow. Why else would they have attacked somebody so quickly upon going upstairs? Ben said to me that literally all he did was made it to the top step, turned round and somebody tried to grab him. I've never been trick-or-treating since, and I don't think I ever will again.